Okay, so I'm here with Karlis Bukovskis of the Latvian Institute of International Affairs, which I think everyone agrees is the leading foreign policy think tank, really, in Latvia. And we're discussing the sort of official release today of the Nations in Transit report from Freedom House, and I think it was the US Embassy as well had a role to play in supporting this project, yeah. What are the main themes that are emerging from this year's report? Because it's quite interesting that it seems to refer to both what's happened but also missed opportunities, which is quite a rare thing to include in these reports.
Yeah, well, first of all, the report, of course, is prepared by the Freedom House. They have been preparing it since 1995, and of course there are contributors from each of the 29 countries that are being included in this report, post-communist countries, and in this case we were participating for the second year already as a contributors on the chapter on Latvia. And it was published a couple of months ago, but now we're finally discussing it because now, well, of course, the holidays are over and we want to go into detail and discuss what are the achievements and whether there are achievements of the Baltic states in democratization. And as this research actually shows, then the Baltic states are consolidated democracies. We have basically in their first places. Estonia is the number one from all the countries. Latvia is number three from all the countries. And Lithuania is sharing the fifth place with Poland. So in this case, as you see that during these transition years since they started observing us, one can see that we have made quite a lot of progress in achieving stable and consolidated democracy status.
And this is what, in terms of political parties, openness, the parliamentary work, stuff like that, is that what's sort of ranked?
Yeah, exactly. There are indicators according to which and chapters according to which the evaluation is being done. It's about the national democratic governance. It's about the corruption levels. It's about the judicial system. It's about the NGOs and civil society. It's about media and municipalities as well. So basically, we evaluate every part of the modern Baltic societies and modern post-communist country societies. And in the end, we decide whether this improvement has been taking place or there have been some changes in the opposite direction. As there is this year, there is an unfortunate case that Hungary has fallen out from the consolidated democracy into something which is, less consolidated.
Something which often happens, I mean, you've used the word post-communist a couple of times, you know, as an editor, whenever I say, you know, post-communist or former Soviet, people get a little bit upset and sort of suggest that we're 25 years on now, maybe Latvia shouldn't now be bracketed along, you know, given this sort of definition, or bracketed along with all the other countries, some of which in sort of Central Asia are very, very different from Latvia these days. Is this a project that can kind of keep going, or are we sort of going to need different definitions soon, do you think?
Well, this is you're quite on spot, because this is one of the discussions and one of the points that we need to discuss also in today's discussion, because no country in Eastern Europe, or especially those who are European Union member states, want to be called post-communist or referred back, because it has been actually a quarter of the century already since we were not communist countries. And so in this case, this is one of the situations. But as already was explained by the colleagues from the Freedom House, then there is a bit of a conservative approach which is still taken, but they themselves, they need to work on the methodology, because there's also a question whether how much more further can we go with democratization. If we are already consolidated democracies, then there's a question what is next. So we have achieved this, and then maybe the Baltic states and then the countries which are consolidated democracies, Poland, Czech Republic, Slovakia, they need to be taken, Slovenia, they need to be taken out of the evaluation as such, and then the research should be concentrating only on those who have been, Eastern Partnership countries, Central Asian countries, or also the Balkan countries.
But it seems to me as well, I mean, it sometimes occurs we have populism kind of rising in a lot of Western European countries now. In some ways, places like the Baltic states are a bit more open, or they're at least maybe a bit more self-aware. They don't take democracy for granted, maybe in a way somewhere in France or the UK or somewhere, you sort of assume that it's a great democracy, whereas here, the fact that we have these examinations happening on a regular basis maybe makes us a little more self-aware. Do you think that's a fair observation? Maybe Western European countries, North American countries can learn something from the Baltics.
Yeah, that's another topic that we want to discuss, whether there is something that, for instance, while looking at the U.S. elections, are there any issues that the Baltic states maybe have been doing better than some other countries of established democracies. In our case, of course, one has to take into account a very fact of the Baltic states being positioned on their own democracy and how we're looking at our own democratic process, because very often we forget that we actually have achieved a lot, that we have managed and we have been very determined into doing that, and we're very often criticizing ourselves for the things that maybe we should not be criticizing ourselves, and there are countries which are definitely failing more. From the other point of view, we of course have to be looking at how liberal our democracies are, and in that case, if we're going for liberalism separate issues of individual rights of some minority groups, for instance, there are still issues that the Baltic states can think of and actually still evolve.
Well, there do seem to be, you know, in the political discourse here, occasionally liberal is still used as a bit of a dirty word, isn't it?
That is true, and there's an greater unfortunate in this regard that very often people use the word democracy in a derogative as a derogative term, which is not necessarily a correct way how to approach this, because democracy, to some extent or to a large extent, it's like infrastructure. You basically, the democratic system is like keeping up with the infrastructure, because it needs to be maintained, otherwise it rots. It needs to be updated, otherwise it gets outdated and unusable. And it is, to a large extent, the very infrastructure of our human relations. And so in this case, we have to keep and continue working on the very democratic institutions and understanding and the liberalization and how far we can go with this liberalism and what is acceptable in the society and what is not, of course.
And so what are the areas, though, in which maybe Latvia is lagging a bit, where it hasn't made as much progress as in certain other areas? Because what a lot of people would assume would be something like integration of the Russian minority. Would that be...
Well, that's not the issue, but there is one issue which all three Baltic states are, so to speak, failing the most, or they have the worst indicators. That's regarding corruption. Corruption issues, of course, are there. In case of Latvia, it's also the judicial system and the discussions that we have been having for a while already, because there's... there's insolvency administration, there's the lengthy court processes, and there's... the prison system, and many other things that we are, but especially the corruption, and this is the question of not only the blunt corruption, which is illegal, but also of technically legal but unethical issues that they are being done, just avoiding tax evasion, and many other things that are happening. Corruption Fighting and Prevention Bureau, of course, and the mess that is working, the working mess that it is of course one of the issues that drags our ranking down very, very, very much.
And I mean, issues like that with CNAB, and also, I mean, there's been quite consistent criticism of the court system from, well, people like Joe Biden when he visited a couple of weeks ago, saying that it's slow and not transparent. In a way, is it a matter that it hasn't really been reformed because it's such a huge job to tackle that you can kind of make a few sort of cosmetic changes every now and again and pretend you're reforming, whereas really you're not really reforming?
No, you're absolutely right. Of course, whenever we're talking about reforming a whole sector, then it's a major work, and there are a lot of people involved. There are a lot of counter reactions, and a lot of people who don't want to see any changes. And in this case, also writing this chapter on Latvia and analyzing the judicial system and its reform, you can see that over the years this has been changing. Every year there are changes which brings us closer to a more efficient system. So in this case, for instance, instance, this very year, the mediation courts were introduced, and many other things that are happening, but it's of course a gradual process. It's not happening overnight, in spite of the fact that people of course would like to see that happening overnight, and very often when they see the discussion, they think that this is a messy discussion, and they want to, they're looking for something which is a quick exit, in this case, a quick solution. And therefore there are politicians who can be buying their voters on the promises of I'm going to solve things quickly, and it still works, because those who understand rationally that there are changes which just simply take time, those are in this case in a differently positioned than those who want immediate and now and.
So what do you think would be, say, the two most effective changes, if you could implement a couple of things over the next year or so, that would mean that next year when we look at the results of this survey, Latvia has advanced again?
Well, definitely the solution to the leadership of the KNAB is absolutely necessary. This is the first thing. The other thing is also one needs to see actual changes happening in case of the State Revenue Office. And basically it's not only about the choice of the leadership in this case, but the actual putting in place action plan, which is in order to avoid any further damage to the image that has been done so far. So those are the two main things which will need to be addressed, and then in that case next year's report could show us significantly better results. There's another, if we're looking also maybe at the journalism and independent media, then one of the things is investigative journalism. In case of Lithuania, that's a bit bigger trouble than in our case, but still there's a lot more investigative journalists are necessary, and that actually improves the quality of democracy, it improves the situation and demands and pressures for more actual legislation on whistleblowers, and that actually makes the whole democratic process more open, transparent, and legitimate. But who am I to tell you? You're the journalist.
Amen to that. I'd just like to say that last point was a particularly good one. Thank you very much.
Thank you.